need to know it. This all-important question should demand the attention of every man and woman, boy and girl, and their inquiry should be, if it's possible to be saved and know it, I want this knowledge. So many folks have asked the question, are you saved? Answer, I hope so. This implies doubt, uncertainty, and opens the door for unrest, uneasiness as to eternal matters. The language, I hope so, is far from the teaching of the Word of God, which is our only source of information in this matter. It is true the word hope is used many times in the Word of God, but not in reference to the salvation of the soul, but has to do with the second coming of Christ. For instance, in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And those words in Romans 8:24, which stumble many, for we are saved by hope. They are a continuation of verse 23, where the redemption of our body and not the soul is in question, and which is dependent on Christ's second coming. Thus this hope which is set before us is a comforting one, because sure and steadfast, and becomes an anchor to the soul. Seeing it is based upon the immutability of his counsel, his unchanging word, according to Hebrews 6:17 and 20. One who holds and teaches that one can only hope to be saved is undoubtedly a blind leader of the blind. And as the Lord Jesus said, both shall fall into the ditch. Seeing the language or teaching of such an one is uncertain, indefinite, and unstable, so is his heart, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Some will say this know you're saved doctrine is dangerous. Well, first, it's not what we think, but what God's Word says and teaches. And second, one who realizes he is an object of the saving grace of God, out of gratitude and love, order his life according to the divine will, and thus his life will be like his calling of an heavenly character. Before turning to the assuring language of the child of God, we will notice one or two other scriptures. John 10:27-28, so well known. My sheep hear my voice, and that's ownership. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And verse 29 sees us doubly secure in the Father's hand. Some will say you can pluck yourself out of his hand. Christ says, neither shall any man. This includes me, so I cannot pluck myself out. A certain preacher was trying to convince a dear old lady who was a true child of God that she could have slipped through the Lord's fingers. She smiled and said, why, I'm one of his fingers. This is true, and every believer is a living member of the mystical body of Christ, according to Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And in Colossians 1:18, now ye are the members of Christ, the body of Christ, and members in particular. And the true church, which is his body, would be incomplete if one member were absent owing to being lost. And many other scriptures could be given to substantiate this truth, but time will not permit. The following will suffice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What then is the scripture language of a child of God? Colossians 1:14, in whom we have, not hope to have, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Also in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then again in 2 Corinthians 5:1, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let us turn to the first epistle of John. Why was it written? For three reasons. First, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, in 1 John 5:13. Second, that ye sin not. A Christian may sin, and when he does, communion is broken. Confession and cleansing is then necessary, but it's God's desire that ye sin not. And then third, that your joy may be full, in 1 John 1:4. That's why the epistle was written, that your joy might be full. Note especially the third, that your joy may be full. How could their joy be full if they had any doubt as to their acceptance with God? Some of the things that accompany salvation are peace, rest, joy, happiness, and comfort. These would be impossible if one were not absolutely sure of getting to heaven. If a wealthy man thought that at any moment he might lose his fortune, could he rest? No, but he would be in a state of uneasiness. So likewise, if I am not sure of getting to heaven and after all may turn up in hell, could I rest? Would I have peace? Would my joy be full? No. Notice what these people knew. 1 John 2:12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. No wonder they were happy. They were not hoping their sins would be forgiven then, but knew they were forgiven, and that they would not be brought into judgment for them, because Christ had borne the punishment of their sins at the cross. According to Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, he the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If ever Christ suffered for your sins, it was at the cross, and he's not going to do it again. He did once. And if he didn't do it then, you'll never be saved. You must be saved for what Jesus did for you upon the cross. Notice again 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Also, verse 2, behold, now are we the sons of God. It does not say we hope to be the sons of God, but we are. When? Now. And if a son of God, then an heir of God, and joint heir with Jesus Christ, and thus will share his glory, as verse 2 further reads, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then again in verse 14 of the third chapter, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That is, they were under sentence of death and condemnation, but now, after trusting Christ, are under God's cloudless favor and love. Notice also chapter 5, verse 13 of chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not hope to have it, but have it, and enjoy it now. No wonder their joy was full. They knew their sins were forgiven. They were going to see, be like, and be with Christ in heaven. They knew they had passed from death unto life, and they knew they had eternal life. And nothing less than this knowledge is the inheritance and should be possessed by every truly born-again man or woman, boy or girl today. We might go on and mention many other scriptures on this subject, but enough has been said to convince anyone that God's word makes it plain that a person can be saved and know it here and now. Is it presumption to say this? We call it presumption to say otherwise in the face